We're a smaller group this evening, but all the same, prayerful and a merry band. If you don't have your notes, they're behind, and also the prayer bulletin is also behind on the desk, on the table right there. Let's turn to Psalm 148. Raymond has already read a few verses for us. I thought it would be good for us to read the entire psalm, also 148. Verse 1, and it reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever, and hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." Now, this psalm is a call to praise. And one thing that we learned straight off today is that praise is not restricted to singing. Okay? It's not restricted to verbal praise. Because the trees, the hills, the stars, and all the creeping things and whatever are called to praise God. And of course, they have no, you could say, vocabulary to praise God. Now, this psalm is divided into two main sections. And in each section, there is a call to praise from somewhere, and then the reason is given why we are to praise. Right? So there are two main sections, and in each section there's a call to praise from somewhere, and also the reason is given why we should praise. Now in the first section, in verse 1, we see that praise comes from the heavens. Now verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights." Now you know when the Bible speaks about heaven, it speaks about three different kinds of things. You have the first heaven, and the first heaven is basically the stars, or rather the sky that we have. The second heaven refers to the space, right, outer space. And third heaven refers to the place where God is. Right, now, how do we know third heaven is the place where God is? Well, that's what Paul says. Right, he was caught up and he went to the third heaven. Right, and so that he wouldn't be so proud, the Lord probably afflicted him and gave him some infirmity. Right, now here in this psalm, we know that it refers to both the sky as well as outer space, as well as the third heaven, right? You see, verse 2 speaks about the angels, and it also speaks about the heavenly hosts. And verse 3 speaks about the sun and the moon and the stars. Now, we also know that it is the first heaven where the, you know, skies are, because all animals are supposed to praise God, and that's the realm of, you know, the eagles and the birds, etc. Now here it may be strange, it may seem strange to us that God is calling upon inanimate objects to praise him. Well, how does the sun praise God? You know, how does it do it, practically speaking? You know, we scratch our heads and wonder, well, how does it do it? Well, you have to understand that praise, the word praise, halal or halal in Hebrew, literally means to boast or to declare God's glory. Now, how do we praise God? Well, we praise God through words, through our song, through words of praise. Well, how does the sun do it? How does the moon do it? Well, just by being there. Now, I'm not sure if you recall, in Romans, right, the first few chapters, it talks about how all of creation testifies of God, right? So that no man would be excused if he did not worship God, right? So mankind, by looking at creation, should be able to see God through it. And that's what Psalm 97, verse 6 says. It reads, "The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory." Right? It's the sun, the moon, the stars, all of these great things that God has created, and because of these things, people behold them, and they declare the glory of God. You also have Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2. It reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." So it's not verbal per se, but day unto day all these things utter, right, the glory of God. So praising God is about declaring God's glory. Even though the sun and the stars, they never speak, yet they proclaim God's glory. So creation testifies of God. Now the second category of heavenly beings to praise God are the angels. Whereas sun and moon and stars, they have no voice, angels, on the other hand, were created expressly to praise God. Now you have several examples of this. You have in Isaiah, you remember, in Isaiah 6, you have the cherubim, they were surrounding the throne of God, and they were praising God. Right? What words were they saying? "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Right? So, and also we know the example when Christ was born, the angels, right, thousands upon thousands of them, were praising God, glory to God in the highest, right? So, we're told here in the first section that we are to praise God from heaven, or the heavenly beings are supposed to praise God. Now the question is, why? Why are they to praise God? Well, verse 5 tells us, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." So they are to praise God because of His power, right? So that's the first section. Now in the second section, you see in verse 7, so 1 to 6 makes up the first section, and 7 to 14 makes up the second section. In verse 7 it says, "Praise the Lord from the earth." So not just heaven, but also earth. Now what on earth should praise God? Is it just humans? Well, not just humans. You take a look at these verses here. The psalm speaks of dragons. Now, what in the world is a dragon? Well, simply put, it's a sea creature. So all the sea creatures should praise God. You see here the lightning, the hail, the snow, the clouds, the winds, the mountains, the hills, trees, all kinds of animals. That's beasts, cows, insects, and birds. So everything biological, everything geological, and everything meteorological, right? Everything on earth and in the earth, and even the earth itself is to praise the Lord. Now, in verses 11 to 12, they show us here that not just, things upon the earth, but especially every person. Every person is called to praise God. And not just kings, not just princes, but all people. Right? Not just the young, but also the old. That's what we see in verse 12, right? Now, what is the reason for praising God? And verse 13 tells us, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." So we see here the reason why God is to be praised. The reason for which is, it's because of His reputation. That's what name means. Name refers to. We praise God because of His reputation. His reputation is an excellent reputation. Now, before I go on, let me ask a question. Are unbelievers commanded to praise God here? Yeah? Yes. Every creature, even unbelievers. And the question that I want to ask is it fair for unbelievers to be commanded to praise God when they don't have the ability to praise God? No, right? Everything has to praise God because of who God is. Now, we frequently like to think that in order for a command to be issued, there must be some form of ability. Otherwise, God wouldn't be so unfair as to issue that command, right? But no, everything, even unbelievers who will not seek God, are required to do so. And it's because of His reputation. He is a gracious God. He's a powerful God. And we see, especially in verse 4, what is the reason why His name is so wonderful, why His reputation is so wonderful. Verse 14 says in the beginning part, "He also exalteth the horn of His people." Or it's more accurately translated as God, because God has raised up for His people a horn. Now, what in the world is a horn? And why is God's reputation so marvelous? Because He raises up a horn. Now, let me ask you guys a question. What is a horn? Well, obviously, it's not the blowing horn, but the horn on an animal, right? Now, what's the function of a horn on an animal? It's to fight, isn't it? It's to defend. It's to fight off. Now, we could also look at it in this other manner. You know, not that you can go to the temple, but if you read back in certain passages of the Bible, and it talks about the brazen altar in the temple, and it talks about the altar of incense, if you see it described in the Bible, at each of the four corners, you have a horn, right? And that's what people used to do when they sought refuge. They would grab onto the horn of the altar. So it talks about something related to strength and salvation, right? Now, where else is this word horn and salvation used together? And who does it refer to? Well, Luke 1:69, right? It says there, referring to Jesus, right, that God hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. So the horn that is referred to here in Psalm 148, and this is what theologians like to call a messianic psalm, because it talks about, right, it talks about this coming Messiah, this salvation, right, of God's people. And so because of this, we see that we should praise God because God has raised up for his people a horn of salvation, given to his people, Jesus. Now, going back to that question, should unbelievers, those who never, or those that refuse to worship Jesus, be given the responsibility of praising Jesus? Is it fair? Right? And the answer basically is, they are commanded to worship Jesus. You take a look at Psalm 2. You know that famous psalm where it says, "Kiss the Son." It talks about, "All ye kings, be wise. Kiss the Son, adore the Son, worship the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish by the way." So there's a command for all people, even unbelievers, to bow down and worship Jesus, the horn of salvation. And you know what? The Bible tells us very explicitly that whether willingly or unwillingly, everyone will one day worship and praise Jesus. Right? We're told here about the name. We're praising God for his name. You take a look at Philippians 2:9. It says, you know, similarly, the same thing where it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," meaning Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." And get this, "of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So from heaven, everything is to praise God because he's a powerful God. From earth, everything is to praise him because of his reputation as a Savior, even though they will not do so now, they will do it one day. And that's the greatness of our God. Amen. Let us, if we could, sing the song that is printed for us, and that is the psalm, and we shall sing it through to next.